This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the Hanania Studio.
First defense, I saw them go out there, and they were scheduled to go 8 plays in a row, 9 plays in a row.
The stress, the pressure these players have been under, learning a new playbook on offense, defense, special teams. But I really like the progress we made thus far.
How about with the coaching staff? Because, you know, it's a new staff. I mean, a lot of these guys you've worked with before, some of them in a limited capacity. But were you anxious, excited to see how the staff has been gelling in the early part of training camp?
Yeah, it has been nice. I really appreciate our staff. I know that a lot of work went into it, to hiring these guys, and a lot of research. And we wanted to get the right people in here, really good teachers, really good people, really good coaches. And I think when you get a group of people like that together, they really mesh well.
Was your time in the offseason enough to get everybody on the same page with your coaching staff?
You know what? That was a challenge as well, Brian. We've had multiple meetings as a coaching staff. And really, I think what helps the coaches too is our team meetings, because we emphasize the things that are important as far as our beliefs. And you know, although the coaches have heard it once or twice, it's always good to hear it 3 or 4 times.
Whenever I ask, because, and you probably have thoughts on this too, Jeff, when folks come and watch the offensive and defensive lines pass rush, you know, and pass protect, you've got George Yarnov, who is the offensive line coach, and Todd Wash, who's the defensive line coach. These guys have to work together just like the players.
They
got to set it up to get what they want out of the drill.
There's no doubt. And it doesn't just begin with pass rush. It's all the team periods and the 9-on-7 periods and our pods drill. And they really have to have a good relationship to get the most out of the guys.
How good is it to finally see pads on to evaluate? I mean, because, you know, when in the offseason, the OTAs, I mean, guys are just running around in shorts. Everybody looks good.
I know. It's tough. The toughest part for me was wanting to change the tempo and go live. I know when you see guys out there. But we have to make good decisions with our team. I mean, there'll come a time and a place that we put in live periods for our players. And you have to have those periods. It teaches pad level and tackling techniques and how to, you know, get off tackles. But you know, we also have to be smart too. But when you see the full pads, I think it energizes everybody.
You know, we've seen some big injuries in the NFL in the first week of training camp. Does that give you pause when it comes to those live periods?
You know what? I've been asked that multiple times, Brian. I think, you know, it's something that you're aware of. But our mindset is more of the attack mode, and we're going to attack everything we do. And we have that in the back of our mind, but we also understand, you know, just how much work we have.
Overall impression of your roster right now, and I know that the general manager David Caldwell talked about, hey, this is going to be a process as well with personnel. But your overall impression?
I've been very pleased with a lot of the guys in our team. I think that, you know, they're extremely competitive. Competitive, I should say. And you know, to have that, to work with a bunch of guys like that, I think that's off to a great start. And it's very important to them. And that's what you want to surround yourself with. There are people that are extremely competitive, where football is important. And you know, that's what we're excited about.
Has anybody stood out now that the pads have come on when you look at that roster evaluation? Because you probably have somewhat of a preconceived notion on certain guys. But when the pads come on, sometimes guys go, hey, I didn't even notice him until the pads came on.
Right. You know what? I think, you know, Mojo, you know, has done some things, even though he's, you know, we're careful how we're thudding up right now. But you know, I just like the progress he's made. Obviously, a guy like Cecil Shorts, he's had a great OTAs mini camp, and it's leading into training camp. He's done a nice job. I'm excited about our defensive backs. You know, with Dwight Lowry leading the group, but to see guys like Gratz and Alan Ball competing like they have been, I think is something special. So, and the offensive line, you know, I think George has instilled not only his temperament, but his philosophy, and I think you're seeing some of those things in, like, the short yardage period that we had yesterday.
All right, you're listening to the very first Gus Bradley Show of a new season, and fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more stop by Gate today. We return with more with the head coach and Jeff Loggeman here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Welcome back, Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. And the quarterback issue, you just never can get enough of it, can you?
It's the most important position on the field. And you understand that.
Yeah, it's a very important position, without a doubt.
Talk a little bit about what you've seen from the quarterback competition so far, because you've talked about that word and that position hand-in-hand since you got here.
Right. The competition sprout throughout our team, but I think probably the focal point is, you know, if we're not hiding behind anything, is the quarterback position. But I really like the part that it is so competitive. And, you know, they've worked well together. You know, we're opening up to all the quarterbacks, but, you know, you know, primarily you're interested in how Blaine and Chad are doing. So it has been highly competitive, and you're seeing things where they're doing, both of them have done some really good things. And just like any training camp, there's going to be days where you may struggle at times. Those things happen. But I think what I'm most impressed about is, you know, people bouncing back. And they have to have their leadership skills on, and if they're going to lead our team. And I've seen it from both of them. But, you know, Blaine has some really good days. And I really like the mindset that Blaine has come into our training camp with. He's really worked hard over the summer, you know, the various camps and throwing with other receivers and with our receivers as well. And, you know, Chad has gone along with them and has done some good things. So, you know, they both have competed very nicely. And, you know, we just trust that as we come to get more games in that we'll, you know, come to a conclusion on this.
During practice, I try to watch everything, players. But one of the things that I watch is coaches. And,
right.
And obviously you're a defensive guy, but I see you at times creeping towards the offensive huddle and leaning in. And you're very aware of what the quarterbacks are doing, almost like you're studying body language. Explain what you're looking at.
Well, I know that communication is so important. And, you know, just the verbiage that we're using, if it's clear and concise and people can understand it. But just, you know, trying to get in a few, you know, we're evaluating everything. It's not just, you know, completions and attempts and things like that, but, you know, their demeanor in the huddle, how they handle the huddle, how, you know, their teammates, how do they respond to them. So all those things go in on the evaluation, and that's why it's so important to let this play out a little bit more. But, you know, they both have it. You can tell that Chad is a true pro, and, you know, Blaine as well, just the progress he's made. I know it's gotten Jed and Frank very excited.
When you deal with these two guys, I mean, all the quarterbacks, but when you deal with these two guys in particular, what stands out to you about each of their personalities?
Well, you know, Chad has played a lot of games, you know, in his career. I mean, a few more years than Blaine has been in the league and maybe has a little bit more experience. And so you see some, I've been that, been through that before and I've done that. And here's what I've learned through that. And that's what's been really good for Blaine. And there's some things that Blaine can do that Chad can't, you know, there where he can help Chad. So I think they're both very talented. I do think they're talented players. The biggest thing that we need from them is, you know, consistency and taking care of the ball. And the guy that does that the best and extends their leadership and demonstrates their leadership throughout the team will be the guy that comes out on top.
It's been really kind of talked about as a two-horse race, but there's two other quarterbacks on the roster, Matt Scott and also Kafka.
Right.
Where are they at?
You know what? I think with, you know, if you start off with Kafka, I think, you know, where some of our quarterbacks have had the opportunity to go through the installation three or four times, this may be his first or his second time of hearing some of the calls. So because of that, if, you know, you say, is he a little bit behind? Well, he hasn't had as many opportunities to go through the install as those two guys. But as far as behind skill level and things like that, we're going to get a chance now tomorrow and the scrimmage to see, you know, him perform a little bit more. So that'll be a good test for him. Matt shows really good athleticism. We like his athleticism. He's just a little bit green, and, you know, there's a lot being thrown at him right now, but he does show flashes.
And, he has probably the fastball of all fastballs from the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the receivers are like, whoa!
Yeah, you know, he does. He's got a really strong arm. So, you know, with him, it's just, you know, he's having some trouble at times with the verbiage and putting it all together. But that happens when you come into a pro team like this.
You know, kind of put the ribbon on the quarterback conversation for now. A lot of people who are listening to this, who are sitting in those stands, are just waiting for one of those two guys to bounce out and
right.
Get ahead of the other guy dramatically. Are you waiting for that, or is this the way you expect it to roll?
You know what? I really want our talk to be really on focusing on today. And I just trust that if we can get our whole team really to have that mindset of really focusing on today, not start saying, you know what, if we could do this, we can do this. You know, I don't talk too much like that. It's more really focusing on today and trust the results will come. And I really want our quarterbacks to have that same mindset.
Do you see that?
Yes, I do.
I mean, have you been able to get
have seen that,
that
change. Okay. I have seen that change.
Because that's different than a lot
it's of... It's a difficult deal now, especially at the quarterback position where everybody is talking about, there's conversations. We can only try to protect the conversations that take place within our building. It's hard to control what happens outside. And I understand that, but hopefully... If we can take care of what's inside, you know, in our building, in our organization first, you know, that influence will extend to the outside.
So in the 6 months that you've been here building the culture that you seek, you have seen that result.
Yes.
Yeah,
and the language that they speak, the actions they demonstrate, I do truly believe that you see that. And it's only going to get better.
The thing that's the best, though, is when the body language of the other players around the quarterback respond. That's when you
right.
know.
Well, and, you know, also with the quarterback, we all want the quarterback to play at a certain level right now. And if he's not then, there now, when is it going to be? Whereas coaches, we can't think that way. We have to think more about the process. We have to think more about concentrating our efforts today, because if we don't, we'll never see that result. And it's really a true discipline that we have to have. And, you know, I'm holding our coaches accountable for
it. Does it ever change? Or is that just a preseason mentality?
No, no, no. You'd like to keep the great teams, the teams that can keep that solid and consistent approach, you know, show the greatest consistency.
All right, we've got much more to come with the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley, and Jeff Loggeman here on the Gus Bradley Show. After this quick timeout, you're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling along with the first Gus Bradley Show of a new season. We're here every Thursday night from 6 to 7 with the coach. You know, Jeff and I spent a lot of time on the practice field watching the young guys in the defensive secondary. And they're not all first-year guys. I mean, here's a name for you, Mike Harris.
Right.
Guy who's just a second-year player, but at the end of the year, we spent a lot of time talking about him last year and the progress he made.
I know when I went back and watched all the tape initially right after I was hired, he did show some flashes and it was impressive. And Marcus Trufant came in to add to that competition there, and I think Mike is really handling it nicely. He is I know Dwayne and I talked about him and the progress he's made, and I think he's feeling more and more comfortable as far as understanding, you know, some of the position challenges. And you know, I think once you see that happening, more and more plays will be made. So that'll be the challenge for him.
He's a young player, but my perception is that he plays with great awareness.
He does. He's got very good instincts, awareness. He understands the game really well. So, you know, now, you know, the added distraction of, you know, what am I supposed to do in this coverage? What am I supposed to do in that? As soon as you feel that, where he feels extremely confident when he's doing, I think you'll see him play faster.
How about your third-round pick cornerback Dwayne Gratz? From watching him, I always anticipate watching him against Cecil Shorts, who I think is your best receiver on the field, bar none, maybe your best player. He matches up well.
Yeah, he does a good job. I mean, that spot, you have to have a certain mindset to play press, read technique, you know, tight coverage like that, play after play. I mean, I can remember times when, you know, teams would come after and run three, takeoffs against one corner all after another, you know, three plays in a row. So in order to play that position, you have to have a certain mindset, a certain maturity. And I think what Dwayne has done is he has shown some of those that maturity that we're looking for in that position.
And the style of play that you're going to be playing, you're playing a lot of press man. That's a demanding. I mean, that's probably the most demanding coverage that a young corner is going to have to play.
Right. Yeah, to put him in that situation right from the start is a challenge. But, you know, we want to play tight coverage, and we really want to challenge every throw. And to do that, you know, those guys got to stand up. And, you know, it's not like we have two safeties behind them. There's a single safety behind them, and they understand at times they're on an island. But I think our teachings are really clear what we expect out of them. You know, certain plays, we want them to challenge, but that's not their responsibility. And others, you know, they have to make the play.
That group, as much as any, more than any, has to learn one another. I mean, it's not like the offensive line where you have a lot of the same guys back. And,
right.
And one guy in Luke Jokel who comes in. I mean, you've got a lot of new names, not just Gratz, Harris and McCray and obviously Jonathan Cyprian when he gets out on the field.
Right. This is Alan Ball. Alan Ball's really had a good training camp. I think, you know, if we're all about competition and that's our central theme, he has demonstrated that. you know, in one-on-ones and lining up. He's probably gone against a guy like Cecil more than anybody. And Cecil's won his share, and Allen has won his share. So that's really what training camp is all about, is that competitive spirit and seeing guys compete. And, you know, after Cecil catches one, Allen comes back and makes a play. That's what it's all about.
Quick thought on your seventh-round picks, Harris and McCray.
Right.
They're long guys.
Very long. Sure. Very long. And, you know, that's what we'd like to gravitate towards. We've had really good success in camp here with guys that have length and places that I've been. And, you know, it just helps playing that position. Not that those attributes are the only guys that are successful, but it surely helps. And I think we targeted both of them in that round when they were there, thinking, you know what, these guys are guys that are going to develop, and once they get stronger and a better feel for the game, because of their physical traits, they have a good chance.
You know, when people look at your team from the outside, they point to that secondary and they say, well, that's where the hiccups are going to be. You know, that's where the learning curve is, the growing pains are going to be. What do you see when you look at these young guys? Do you see any lack of confidence in them?
No, I don't. But I'm sure there'll be a learning curve, you know, just like there will be with our coaches and our players. But that's what it's about. And if we can, you know, to make mistakes is human, but we want to stay away from making them repeatedly. And, you know, we understand that. And there's going to be at times when a corner does get beat. But all the benefits that we gain from it, of challenging receivers and being aggressive in our coverage, is more beneficial, and we'll take those results, you know, with that type of a risk.
What's Dwight Lowry give you?
You know, when you talk about playing together, it is so important, Brian. The corners have to be able to feel him back there, and you know that he is going to be there for him when needed. And they're not always going to be, you know, need him, but when that time comes, he's got to be there. So very savvy veteran. He's came in to camp lighter than he ever has.
That's why I was just going to ask you about.
Yeah,
he looks in great shape.
He does, and you know, we've challenged him in that area. I know Coach Walker and D'Lo have talked, you know, if not every day, every other day during the summer, and just building the type of mentality. And he's responded, you know, greatly, and we're very pleased.
All right, we've got more to come with head coach Gus Bradley. After this quick pause, you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach, Gus Bradley. Yo, Coach, one name that we didn't hit on in the last segment, because we haven't seen him yet, is the second-round pick Jonathan Cyprien, the young safety from Florida International. Tremendous talent, athlete. Give us your thoughts on where he is, when you might see him, and what he brings to the table.
You know, we have been really excited about Jonathan and the traits that we saw on tape, in college tape, and then the little bit of time that we had in OTAs and minicamp. So, you know, this time right here, it is unfortunate. You know, we'd like to see him compete in these situations and get enough of the reps. But on the bright side is it's not a long injury. You know, it's
hamstring, right?
Yeah, it's a hamstring, and he's making good progress on it. We really want to be mindful of his situation and not have an injury that lingers throughout the season. So we're being really smart with him, and hopefully we get him back soon.
And for the fans out there, there's a limited number of days, but when he does come back with the CBA rules, he has to be in no pads, even though the team would be in pads for 2 days, correct?
Right, but you know what? We just checked on that, too. The acclimatization period, I don't believe he has to go through it, since he's, you know, the conditioning that he's doing to get his hamstring back in shape. That would qualify.
Okay.
Tough guy. I mean, it's clear. When you were working with him in the OTAs and you spent a lot of time in the defensive backfield, you were communicating with him. What kinds of things, is that a key cog in your secondary?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we'll mix up our coverages, but I don't think we're kidding anybody in knowing that we're going to play some single safety. And, you know, we have our base principles in our drops, but there's also some things that we look at that allow us to play tighter coverage. And a lot of our conversation is about when can you play tighter coverage? When the opportunity presents, when is that an opportunity for you to make a play? And, you know, I just want to make sure he doesn't miss those opportunities. But those are all discussions that's great that you can have, not necessarily through a rep, but just illustrating it through talk.
You know, there's a lot of questions about the secondary because you got a lot of new guys out there. But there's a lot of excitement about it as well. They're young, they're athletic, they're long, as you've talked about, and guys that look like they can build to have what you had in Seattle eventually.
Well, you know what? What I really like about the whole group is it's very spirited. It's a spirited group, a lot of energy, and they love football. Extremely competitive group that will battle every day. And to be able to work with guys like that, that's great because you know that they're going to get better. And, you know, they don't want to make mistakes. They want to just, you know, continually get better. And, you know, but they understand it is the NFL and there's going to be some plays made. But it's their hopes that they make their share as well.
With staying along the lines of an injured player, Justin Blackmon, seeing him working on the sideline, looks like it's ramping up every day,
right,
what he's doing over there with Mike Ryan. When do you expect him back, and,
well,
and what do you expect out of him?
Yeah, I've been very pleased with Justin Blackmon through the whole stage that we've been here. I mean, the communication that that I've had with him, his spirit in training camp, I know just in compared to, you know, with some of the guys on our staff that have seen him before, they said he's more involved in practice, he's more engaged in practice than ever before. And so very pleased with his mentality, and he understands what we're asking him to do. As far as his workouts, I believe he's ahead of schedule. And, you know, they're progressing where if it's a week ahead of schedule, so be it. But I know they are amping up his rehab a little bit, so we expect to see him hopefully sooner than expected.
How critical is it to get him into the preseason game since he's going to miss the first four games of the
Well,
year?
He's a competitor, and guys love to compete. And I think more than anything is to give him a chance to compete and put him in that environment. So I think it's extremely important.
The other one that's really surprised me because, you know, Justin had groin surgery, Jason Babin. I mean, it's almost like everybody just said, you know, I've totally forgotten about it. But
right.
I mean, he's out there. And he looks great.
He does. You know what? And we're there's another one that we're watching his reps, bringing him back, you know, correctly. You know, Dave Caldwell, when he got here, you know, and I, we met with our training staff. Mike has done a great job, and Milo. And, you know, we really worked hard at this return-to-play policy, you know, taking care of the players, work their tails off, but also being smart. And we've already shown less injuries on our injury report this year than at the same time in years past. So we're just going to stay true to that. And, you know, take care of the players, but, you know, we also have to be in the attack mode and challenge them as well. But they've responded nicely.
All right, you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show, and we're back with more after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, a couple more quick segments with head coach Gus Bradley. Let's go to the offensive line. We have spent a lot of time looking at Luke Jokel, first-round pick, playing over the right side. What have you seen from him?
Well, you know, coming in as a rookie and performing the way he has, I mean, he hasn't really faced any live bullets yet. So, you know, that's something to take into consideration. But we're excited to watch him perform in the preseason. And, you know, he'll have some growth that takes place throughout those. But, to, you know, really where he's at right now and our expectations, he's done a great job handling it.
Yeah, watching him, very efficient with his feet, plays with great knee bend. He could be a left tackle tomorrow if you had to have him play left tackle.
Yeah, he's very talented, extremely talented. And, you know, he's the quietest second pick of the draft, I think, that I've ever been around. You know, there's not a lot of conversation about him, which is really a good world for Luke. You know, he can come in and he can concentrate just on doing his job. And I think that's what's allowed him to progress so nicely.
And there's really no mystery about the tackles. But the guards, I think there's a lot of intrigue.
Right.
You've got Will Rackley coming back from missing all of last year and having a rookie season that, you know, was up and down. And then Uche's coming back from a knee injury and that camp kind of up and down. Is that a group that, hey, they've all got to come together?
Right, they do. And I can say this, that George and Jed and I have had conversations. We're very pleased with our front line. It's been good. Will Rackley, you know, look, I've gone from Luke right away to Will. And that just tells you that he's really done a great job in the offseason, here every day. He just has a different look to him. He has a different look to him. And we're really excited about the progress he's made.
He's an athletic guy, too. I mean,
don't forget
that he played left tackle in college at Lehigh.
Right.
So
he's got the toughness. And Uche, I mean, has done a great job coming back from an injury. And for him, you know, he's fighting through it. And you really don't hear a peep about it. And, you know, Brad Meester, I mean, what, enough said about him. That guy, he's unbelievable to be around a guy like that. And, you know, how he handles the whole offensive line. And Eugene, to have two tackles like we have, you know, could be, you know, very beneficial to us if they continue to progress.
How has Eugene handled the competition?
He's good.
Though Luke's over on the other side.
Right.
You're talking about a top 10 pick and a top 10 pick over there.
Well, Eugene has a lot of pride, you know, and he has, you know, Eugene, what I do love about Eugene is that he will compete against himself. And that's what he needs to do. He needs to continually challenge himself to play at the highest level. And Eugene will do that. So, like you said, Jeff, he's demonstrated that against going some of the, you know, the better rush ends in the league. And, you know, that will continually be Eugene's mindset.
And the competition doesn't end with five, because really it's seven.
Right.
Because of game day, you're going to have seven guys active. So who can be the number six to play multiple spots as well as number seven?
And that's the challenge that we have now. And hopefully through this competition and the scrimmage and things that we have set up coming up, we can really see how those guys elevate.
All right, more to come on the Gus Bradley Show after this quick break. You're listening to the Jaguars Radio Network.
Your TV isn't just a TV anymore. It's your entertainment operating system. Introducing the Xfinity X1 Triple Play. Record up to four shows at once while watching a fifth. Find everything faster with Smart Search across live TV, Xfinity On Demand, and your X1 DVR. Plus, get the fastest in-home Wi-Fi. Get the all-new Xfinity X1 Triple Play for $99 a month for 12 months with X1 DVR service free for 6 months. Call 1-800-XFINITY. Requires enrollment, equal bill paperless billing through Comcast Self Service. Offer ends 9/30/13. Restrictions apply. New residential customers only. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
When the game is close, the Jaguars rely on their top players to perform. EverBank clients get that same performance from our wide range of financial solutions, from high-yield checking and money market accounts to powerful mobile banking apps and unlimited U.S. ATM reimbursements when you maintain a minimum average daily balance. It's what you want and what we deliver to our clients every day. So if you're ready to see your money perform at the highest level, it's time you found EverBank. Connect with EverBank and their team of experts locally or online at everbank.com/jags. The official bank of your Jacksonville Jaguars. EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Fanatics.com is the number one online store for official Jaguars gear. Check out Fanatics.com for an unbelievable selection of Jags jerseys, Jags hats, Jags t-shirts, and more. With more than 2,400 Jaguars products, Fanatics.com has everything for men, women, and kids. Great customer service, 365-day returns, and fast shipping on every order. And if you're a fan of the Gators, Seminoles, or Hurricanes, Fanatics.com has it all. Fanatics.com has more than 250,000 products. Every sport, every team. Fanatics.com, where Jags fans shop.
At Brooks Rehabilitation, they provide the most complete care to help you achieve the best recovery possible. In addition to their rehabilitation hospital, they offer outpatient therapy, home health care, and senior services. They're here to support you at every stage of your recovery. Brooks Rehabilitation is more than therapy. It's about seeing your life in a whole new way. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
Hey, it's the Roo. What would you say if I told you you could get a hot dog and a refreshing fountain drink for $1.50 at Kangaroo Express? You'd say, this is too good to be true. A dog and a drink for $1.50? How can this be? And I'd say, oh, it's true. Go to Kangaroo Express and see for yourself. A delicious ballpark frank and an ice cold fountain drink for $1.50. And you'd say, how can I ever thank you? And I'd say, don't worry about it. That's what the Roo is here for. Check out KangarooExpress.com for more deals. Kangaroo Express. Get right at the Roo.
Okay, Jaguars fans, so you'll want to come to the game, but the budget's a little tight right now. No problem. You can still stand united with the Jaguars' new four-game half-pack. You get half a season.
But all the excitement.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
From just $40 per game. And you can spread the cost with two easy interest-free installments. To build your half-pack, choose between the Dolphins and Eagles preseason games. Then add at least three from any of the Jaguars' regular season games here at EverBank Field. Call 633-2000 and tell them Joe sent you. Or visit Jaguars.com and haul in that half-pack today.
Excuse me, is that your Diet Pepsi?
Sofia Vergara. This is my Diet Pepsi. I love Diet Pepsi.
Do you love every sip?
Nothing is better than drinking a refreshing Diet Pepsi and just reveling in its crisp, delicious taste.
Well, you know what they say. If you love something, let it go. And if it comes back, it was meant to be.
So I should set this Diet Pepsi free and wait for it to come back. Then it'll be more delicious than ever. Would you hold my Diet Pepsi for me?
I'd love to.
Thank you. What happens now?
Go, get out of here. It can't come back to you if you're standing next to it.
Thanks, Sophia.
I'll wait for you, Diet Pepsi!
The only thing better than an ice-cold Diet Pepsi is a free ice-cold Diet Pepsi.
Love every sip at DietPepsi.com.
You know, as we come back to the Gus Bradley Show, Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach, one of the things I think people have really enjoyed is watching A. Sanders on the field so far, the rookie from South Carolina. You know, we haven't seen a lot from special teams yet in terms of live stuff, but you've seen this guy. What, thoughts on A. Sanders and special teams?
Yeah, he's done a really nice job. I mean, talk about another competitor on the field. I think Cecil has been very good for him because you're seeing A. show up as a wide receiver in our scheme, and that's great. And we really looked at him first and foremost as a returner. And you know, to have a guy like that back there for punt returns, he's pretty special. He's got the chance to be special. And I like his maturity. You have to have a guy back there to return punts that you trust, and we trust Ace. So, yeah, he's had a bright camp so far.
There's speed, and then there's elusiveness. It looks like Ace has both of those.
Well, there's clock speed, and then there's game speed.
Right.
You know, they are different.
That's right. You know, if you looked at Ace's speed, he might be a high 4-5 guy. But the ability to hit it north and south and to have the mindset to hit it north and south, he displays every day. And bright-eyed, you know, really a temperament, competitor, and, you know, we'll go and go and go. And that's one guy that we always talk about to make sure that we don't wear him down. But everybody's so excited to watch him play.
And he is going to be obviously your primary punt return in the preseason. You're going to want to get a look at him. And it's a great opportunity to look at rookies in the return game.
Right.
Who will you look at as a kick returner?
Well, you know, D-Rob is one guy right now that we've got back there to
Denard
take a look
Robinson.
At. Yeah, and Jordan, you know, is a guy that we're looking at back there too, Diamond. So, you know, we're going to get a lot of guys. You see, you know, the Eberts and the, you know, the and the Shipleys are back there, Justin Forsett. So, you know, Tobias Palmer. I mean, we're really – that is a full-out competition. And so all those guys will get their chances in preseason, you know, to make a name.
With the game the way it is today and the kickoff being moved up, what is more important, a dominant punt returner or a dominant kick returner?
Both.
A diplomatic.
You know what? We like to hit both. But, you know, the punt return is so critical. I think it takes a special person to be back there. And, you know, someone that you really trust a great deal. And they can change field position so much. And you know, the kickoff, you're right, it is a little bit more challenging. But you'd like to have a guy back there at any time that can, you know, get you going as far as field position.
You mentioned A. Sanders getting a lot of action, you know, in the offense. Now, what about Denard Robinson? How's he coming along?
He's doing good. You know,
you get the question every day.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, there's times when we take a practice and we may say, hey, let's take a good look at Alan Ball today, or, you know, let's make sure he gets matched up here, or let's take a good look at, you know, Denard Robinson, or, you know, and he's had his time to do that. And, you know, just like with a lot of rookies, the consistency, but he shows flashes. And, you know, just like we talked about, his ability to run and it looks effortlessly, you know, he's really smooth, really a smooth athlete. So we've got to try to get him into his comfort level. He did take some punt return snaps, but we're limiting him on those now and trying to concentrate more on kick return and our offense.
Well, and with Denard, you're making all the teams in the division prepare for a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
With all the talk about what roles he's going to play.
That's right. And there should be a commercial right here.
And here it is. Timing is everything, Coach. We're back with the final segment after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, scrimmage here at the stadium Saturday night. We'll have an hour or so with Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggeman, and myself right here in Jacksonville on WOKV 104.5 FM and AM 690. Coach, you get things started at 6:45. What's the format? What do you hope to achieve? What does a scrimmage do for you besides giving you a chance to really give your fans something to take a good look at?
Well, I think it's a couple purposes. We're going to use the scrimmage to kind of show our players our pregame routine. So we'll get that knocked out early in the portion. But we were going to have it similar to a practice, you know, where we go through the different periods, but we didn't modify it now. And now we're going to put our guys in situations. We'll, you know, right after the so-called national anthem that we're going to simulate, we're going to go right into a kickoff and then start off with the first offense versus the second defense. And then it'll be the second offense versus the second defense. And then we'll get right into another special team situation. And we'll move along, maybe in the red zone, get us some goal line reps, some backed up reps, and we'll simulate a game as much as possible. We won't show a lot, it'll be basically just to see the guys compete and how fast they can play, under the lights.
How much of it will be live?
There might be a portion,
maybe a goal line,
maybe a goal line situation, but we won't. We'll probably be more thud. And you'll see us sporadically throughout our, the upcoming practices where a period may be live.
You talk about the pregame routine, but the other thing is the mechanics of the coaching staff itself. Who's
right.
Upstairs? Who's downstairs? Will you work that as well?
That's it. We're maybe in a year or two. We don't have to do that. We kind of have a feel. We'll probably go through that whole routine on Saturday.
How will that be for you? I mean, as far as coaches, where will they be? Will Jed and Bob, your defensive and offensive coordinators, be upstairs
right.
during the games?
They'll both be on the sideline, but they'll put the other player, the coaches, up top and get them used to looking, and we'll go through the responsibilities. The other thing is that we each get a couple days of NFL officials, and it just so happens for our scrimmage, I believe we have four NFL officials that are going to be here. So what a great opportunity to take advantage of that.
All right, and a week from now, we'll be talking about the first preseason game and a little bit about an opponent for the first time, and we're getting towards it. The first couple of weeks of camp really challenge guys mentally
yes.
as much as anything, don't they?
Right.
Get through the heat, get through the repetitions.
Yeah, and, we don't look too far ahead, and you want to, capture every opportunity, but I'm sure, there's that anxiousness about the first preseason game.
All right, first Gus Bradley show in the books. We'll be better for next week.
That's right, that's right.
Head Coach Gus Bradley, thanks for your time, Coach.
Okay, thank you, appreciate it.
Well, we'll see about being better with our first Jaguars Thursday as Mark Brunell and Tony Boselli join Jeff and I for an hour here in Jacksonville. And for those of you on the network, you can join us at Jaguars.com, courtesy of Joe Fortunato, our outstanding producer. Good night, everybody. And he takes the snap, four-man rush, good protection. He'll turn and throw. He's got a receiver. Cecil's got it. He's on the run. He's going to the end zone. 10-5, touchdown, Cecil Shorts. Four wide receivers. Locker on third and 10. Steps into the shotgun with Chris Johnson set to his left. Titans 2-5 on third down. Blitz is coming. Locker's hit. Sack inside the 5-yard line. Paul Puzlesny came hard and fast and comes up with a big play. Play clock running down. Sanchez takes the snap. Here comes the pressure. He's going to get hit. He lost the ball. And I think the Jaguars have recovered it. The Jaguars have recovered a Mark Sanchez sack.
Jason Babin at the right end spot, runs around Pro Bowl left tackle DeBrickashaw Ferguson, getting his 6.5 sack for the year in his first as a Jaguar.